Season 1, Episode 6, The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live, Season Finale. Show description, don't forget this is Rick and Michonne's story, the love story between Rick and Michonne, changed by a world that is constantly changing. Will they find themselves in a war against the living, or will they discover that they too are the walking dead? This episode, titled The Last Time. The episode description on IMDb, Rick and Michonne need to perform a near impossible miracle. This is Talking Walking Dead. Welcome to it, Talking Walking Dead. Myself, Jeff Fisher, Jason Buttrell, and Maximus Fisher bringing you the season finale of The Ones Who Live recap. Just a quick factual note. Well, I'm going to call it a factual note. I haven't done the work myself, but this is from at TrashXXRawlings on X. Trash is his headline name. Michonne kissed 104 times in 6 episodes of The Ones Who Live.
Gosh.
Took me forever to put this together. And then he added a couple of emojis. And then he replies to himself saying, oh, edit that. It's 107. I missed 3 from after they talk about RJ in episode 4. So it was just another, you know, beautiful kiss fest of Michonne on the season finale. Because we had
series finale.
Yeah, let's hope that it's a series finale. I mean, they haven't re-upped season 2. It's definitely open enough to hit it. And the numbers have been, I mean, they've been touting how good the numbers are on AMC Plus. Not sure what they are on AMC, but they've definitely touted the numbers as the most watched shows, you know, over, it started with Dead City. Then it started with Daryl took the lead. And then The Ones Who Live took the lead over those two. So they've definitely been touting the numbers. So I find it hard to believe they won't do a season 2, but
I don't think they will, but
you never know. So anyway, we just had to start with, you know, the last business together before we went back to Philly.
Right off the bat.
I know, remembering it all. I remember it all. And,
I like this episode. Yeah, I'm just going to say it. I like this episode.
I did too. I liked a lot of the flashbacks. I liked a lot of the kills. I liked all that.
Rick was great in this episode. Rick was awesome in this episode.
There was. I'll save it to the end because I only had one issue with this, and it was one reaction. That was it. The rest of it was great, but there was one reaction where I was like, "Wait, what?" But we can save that to the end because it happened at the end. But otherwise, it was great. Action was great. Everything was great.
I enjoyed the Michonne going to our girl's apartment looking for the dossier.
We found the dossier.
We did find the dossier.
It was in the cat sculpture.
Yeah, it was in the cat's butt of the sculpture. So I guess that's a wonderful thing.
It wasn't very dossier looking ish.
Well, it was not.
It looked like a bottle note that someone threw off a ship, you know, or something like that.
The dossier wasn't what I expected at all.
Not a folder, just like a hidden piece of paper, three hidden pieces of paper.
Tied awesome. With ribbon, you know?
up in the window. But we did find it, and we did see some of the serial killer writing on the pages. Documenting the Rick and Michonne and Alexandria City. Yeah.
That whole sequence, I was like, what are you doing, Michonne? Like, it's supposed to be like this clandestine op and she's trashing the room.
Right.
Like, just straight trashing it and then just rips it and throws it around on the ground. I'm like,
she picks up
the
pieces. She picks up the pieces
and puts them in her pocket. So you're thinking, okay, she's going to get caught. They're going to find all this crap in your pockets.
Right.
Like, I'm the whole time, like, you're just burn it in the sink.
That's what I'm sorry. What was the quote that I said?
The first thing you said, burn it immediately.
Burn it now. What are we doing? What are we doing? Yeah. Each room has, I don't know, a bathroom. Burn it over the toilet and flush. What are we even doing? I don't understand.
Great Walker killer, great soldier, horrible clandestine ops operative.
No kidding.
I mean, that is that really a surprise?
And then, of course, she's, you know, ready to leave and decides, no, I can't leave. I have to go watch a film and I'm going to get
Well, where all the rich are. By the way, so I know we're kind of jumping ahead of ourselves. We got the echelon briefing. We got
partial of the echelon briefing, right?
No,
I don't know that we got the whole.
We got the whole thing.
All right, if that's all of it.
The last thing was swear on the sword, and
yeah, and I mean and I did enjoy, you know, no one like you, Rick, and Beale knew that Rick was the man. You know, there was nobody. He was the man, and I like the. The sword that kills is the sword that brings life. I like that. And, it was kind of a, you know, when they reflected back, when he asked Rick to reflect back, that was kind
of. We see a lot of old, like all of dead, basically.
Yeah. And asked him what his worst kill was, you know, who he killed, what his worst kill was.
I ripped a man's throat out with my teeth.
Right. Which was awesome. I mean, it just brought back memories of that episode. It was such a great episode because he's our man right then. That's our man.
Yeah. Yeah. So a few things like going back to that, Michonne sneaking into that, you know, presentation or whatever. I thought it was just so ridiculous that they're all wearing these big head coverings sitting in this theater. That way, conveniently, no one can see each other's faces. I was like, this is like Eyes Wide Shut. Did Stanley Kubrick, like, you know, organize this specific meeting of the CRM? Come on. I thought that was kind of ridiculous. Overall, meta, I now understand what they tried to make CRM, like, the military to be.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so basically, I mean, now that it looks like it's over with, I kind of see that is what, if Rick wouldn't have constantly had those episodes where he would take a step back and reevaluate how far he was pushing his morality, like if they would have been successful in killing off Negan, you know, station by station, going in and slitting their throats in the middle of the night, that was awesome part of the show. But if they would have continued down that line, they would have been CRM. They absolutely would have been CRM.
And I guarantee that you really that, Rick,
that really that crystallized when they were. Go ahead.
No, I was saying that Rick would have agreed with General Beale.
Right. But that really crystallized to me when they were having that fight with that South African chick, when she was like, what was the quote? You probably
know. Thorn, but like, what was her quote? Like, we're building
She was fighting with Michonne, and she was basically saying, you're just like me. And Michonne was like, well, no, like, you know, I didn't give up on
exactly.
Right. And I was that's what they're trying to do. And I actually didn't roll my eyes at it. I was like, okay, that kind of makes sense and made it pretty much okay for me.
It doesn't. And, you know, we learned that, which we knew really from World Beyond, that, you know, CRM Beale, the military, was acting on their own, their own entity, because he was just saying, yeah, you guys can go play politics all you want. I'm me over here.
And then, it actually looked kind of cool too. He had like 2,000 to 3,000 of his like elite, you know, secret soldiers.
The red stripes. Yeah.
It was just cool. I dug it.
Yeah. Yeah. That was kind of cool. I give you that. No question. And there were some great kills. The Beale death, Michonne had a couple of great kills. Then we had Thorne, you know, that was her death was great. I will say that I would like to know what the special tarp was made of.
Covered in water.
for the explosion, because that's a magic tarp right there. That is a magic tarp. I know it's The Walking Dead. That there are people, and I know that things happen to our advantage. That's the way the show goes. But that's a magical tarp right there.
That's a very good point. I'm glad you make that, Jeffy, because I also noticed that Hollywood learned something from, you know, there were people that were putting like panties and underwear on their face, you know, for a face mask during COVID. And apparently it doesn't matter if it's like a crazy chemical weapon. You can just have, you know, like one of those stupid Thank little you. Gators well, over here. And you're fine.
Then they got a gas mask.
Completely fine. I was like, well, I guess that kind of makes sense, you know, with that mentality. Straight up.
Thank you.
Throw a gator over your face.
Got the gas mask. later after the initial explosion.
He's just running around huffing and puffing, fighting with a stupid piece of cloth over his face, and he's good.
You gotta admit that. I have to say, like, the whole thing with the walkers and them like setting off the grenades was awesome.
Yeah, that was fun,
and it was fun to have Beale in the cart on the elevator, you know, with the blood dripping, and Rick just kind of hoping nobody's going to notice, but then the guy does notice.
That was a hell of a good fight.
That was a good fight.
I know. I was hoping. I thought for sure that Rick was going to kill him with the elevator door.
Oh yeah.
You know, get push the button in time for it to open and then close again as it just crushes down on him.
That would have been fun.
But him just completely bludgeoning him with his
with his prosthetic.
Yeah, that was dope. He did not let up. He just kept going. That's classic Rick Grimes right there.
That is. Yeah, that was really good.
We had a lot of classic Rick this episode, which was fun. I loved the fight with Beale, where Beale realizes, okay, he's not on my side. And
yeah, it was close, because I will say that was a great scene with them together, because I felt like at one point, and obviously that wasn't the case, but I did feel like at one point he was winning Rick over.
Mm.
I feel like there was one little point there where he was like, okay, well, that makes sense.
Okay, when I had that thought, and it completely blew past me, but there was way too much dialogue, so I just missed it. But she showed him that like imagery and said something about 14 years. Did you guys catch the specific? Yes. What was the specifics of that? What was 14 years?
He said humanity statistics show for us that most, if not all of humanity will be gone in 14 years.
And they're trying to slow that down. You know, I mean, they're trying to, you know, widen that gap.
Okay. For them, at least.
Correct. Correct. That's correct. Shortening the gap for many others. That's correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Because
that was his deal, that he needed to do that for food and, you know, just for his humanity to survive longer than the 14 years. And then that's why he offered Rick's team, which, whether you believe it or not, but he did offer Rick and his people safety. Said he would bring them all in. And right about that time is where I was thinking, I think Rick is going to go with them. I like it. I like this. Let's go. And Michonne's going to be left holding the bag.
He did something with his knife. Like, I thought he was putting his knife back in the holster.
I did too.
I thought he flipped it.
That's the point.
I was like, what?
He's winning him over. he's going to strap on that red stripe, and Michonne's going to be left out in the wind.
Dude, that was pretty dark.
Especially that was a tense scene.
With the Michonne's presentation going on at the same time and going back and forth, and they're talking about they're going to get 10% of the children, but only 10%, and they're showing their faces up on the screen. I was like
which ones they're taking? Like that was a great scene, and like what they're planning on doing. Like, we're doing this, then we're going to gas that whole town. We're going to kill everybody else.
That's hardcore, man. It was like mass genocide just for this one group to survive.
Well, and that's what they've been doing, right? We learned that from The World Beyond. Which they referenced, getting rid of Omaha, and he referenced getting rid of the scientists that we saw flashbacks of from World Beyond that we knew about. We knew that he was wheeling and dealing with foreign entities, which is where we got Daryl, right? Which is how they got Daryl and Daryl to France, because of that wheeling and dealing, selling walkers for testing. With international entities. Yeah. So, I mean, they did wrap it up. Mm-hmm. You know, they did bring everything.
It was actually, they did a really good job at wrapping that story up, especially with what shocked me is when Beale said, we will basically pillage and kill every single group that is out there, only taking in little people and taking all their stuff to survive. And then they're saying, oh yeah, and then after we kill Portland, we're gonna take over the Civic Republic, get rid of their system, and basically induce martial law.
Yeah. It wasn't clear to me how Thorne was such a big convert to this after getting that briefing.
I don't think she really believed in Thorne in Okafor's thing like Rick did.
Not Rick, Okafor. Yeah.
No, I know. Yeah, Thorne did not believe much in Okafor, and then she saw the Echelon briefing, and apparently that convinced her. But
Yeah.
I mean, it's a legitimate convincing, you know, I mean, because like I said, we thought in my mind, I thought he almost had Rick at that point, you know, because he's going through that. Like, look, we're here. You survived. You did. You're a survivor. And that's what we need. And those dingleberries out there, they're going to be lucky to make it 14. In fact, they're going to be lucky to make it past 14 hours. So why don't you just pack up your stuff? And we're going to go take care of business. I mean,
we'll save your group because I like you.
Well, yeah, because Rick is the man, right? I mean, Rick is, there's no one like him. So you know what? You can bring in whoever you want and we'll make sure they're okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
It was just wild. You imagine yourself being in that briefing and he's like, look, the experts say they probably only have 14 years anyway. So we're just killing them all. Okay.
Well, all right. If we all right, and the thing is look, we all have this amount of time, and maybe shorter depending on what diseases crop up, how much food we can make, how many people, you know, what we're feeding the people, how much we're feeding the people. You know, it. You know, sometimes people are expendable.
You can't see me, but I'm reaching for my knife right now. You won't convert me, Jeffy, to this.
You won't convert me, Jeffy.
See what's happening?
I mean, they don't realize they're making the case for what they're preaching. These same people are preaching climate change and the end of the world. I know we don't need to get into politics, but the same people that are doing this show, showing how bad that these people are doing the same thing every freaking day.
Facts, straight facts.
Yes. and for some reason they don't see it or don't want to see it. But that's another day.
I see a Chew in the Fat Jeffy monologue on Monday.
Day.
I loved, but then they get into the fight and Rick is able to kill him with his sword. Which that was a great, like him going on the monologue and goes, we're the ones that are alive. You're dead.
Yeah. His reference to we're also the dead was also very interesting as well.
Yeah.
Because people have been saying that since the very start of season one.
Yeah. We are the walking dead. Yeah.
I loved, and I will say I did. That's why I think we're not going to get a season two. I mean, they wrapped this up pretty good. You know, while we can get to the end if you'd like, because, you know, I was hoping that maybe, I don't know, they all died, the end, roll credits, it's over. And,
can you guys maybe explain this? Because again, this is something that I might have missed, but in the melee at the end, when Rick is covered in walkers and he explodes a hand grenade, how did he not die there?
He was, so... I rewatched that scene.
My gosh, what kind of... I thought you were military.
I was confused. I was confused. I was confused too, so I actually went back and rewatched that scene myself. So he pulls the grenade and then drops it. As he's backing up, there's crates, and he hides behind one of the crates that's cornered so that he's at least far enough and behind cover that...
Oh, you can see that.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's behind a ton of blood and fog.
I thought that he pulled the grenade, and when he tossed it into the crowd, he used those other walkers as a shield. I didn't think he went behind the crate.
He could have.
I thought he was using those. He other went
behind.
I
saw him go behind something. It could have been another walker shield, but like
after the explosion, he pushes out two or three walkers to come out. So I thought that's what he used as his shield for the... I mean, that's what I would have done. Yeah, you know, I mean, it would have been me.
I mean, you have done similar things.
Surrounded by walking... Well, no, I don't want to. That brings back too many memories. But, I mean, if you're going to... I figured that he threw the grenade, you know, tossed it as well, as much far as he could, outside of the surrounding... Well, kind of like what, you know, what's his face did... It when what's her face's husband under
when,
the
when Glenn
yes
the, when with
Glenn
the dumpster
was under the dumpster, and he was, you know, all the walkers were on top of him, and he realized that
he used the guy's body
he realized that all of that goo saved him, you know. I don't know.
All right. They could have explained it better. If Max
is right, I didn't go back and watch it. So maybe he did, you know, pull himself back behind the crates. That's what you're saying.
That's what I think I saw. It was, like I said, it was hard to tell with all the walkers, the blood, and the yellow fog of chlorine gas. But
apparently, the magic tarp is only good for one cover. They couldn't get over to the magic tarp in time. That would have saved it completely with the grenade. But I really did think that he used the walkers as cover.
Okay.
Anyway, I mean, it's a good move because I thought for a second they were going to kill him.
Yeah. Which, well, I was getting ready to say I'm not doing this podcast. If they would have killed Rick off like that,
I know.
I was like, nah, not even going to bother.
I know. I would.
But then when that happened, we get kind of the news report.
Just go dark, man.
And they kill Thorne. And then we get that news report from the Civic Republic that they found everything. The Beals men are all dead. The 3,000 red stripes. And that the rest of the military didn't know what was going on, which we already knew that. And that the Civic Republic themselves is now taking control of the military.
And then we're back home.
Yeah.
And
I was so happy. We
landed back home.
So what did you guys think about that? The reunion?
I loved it. I thought it was awesome.
Max loved it.
I was pissed.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it took what felt like an hour and 45 minutes for Judith to even recognize that her dad was standing 2 feet away. And I was like, he was the entire reason that she sent Michonne out.
Right.
She thought he was dead. Surprise, I'm not dead. And she doesn't even look at him.
She did. They both hugged
Michonne.
For an hour and 45 minutes.
Right. And not once did Michonne say, I want you to meet your father. I thought for sure that was going to happen.
I couldn't believe the sequence
Setting aside the Judith, okay? I didn't really give that much thought because I was so pissed at Michonne not saying,
to RJ.
I want you to meet your father. They just stand there and it's like, so
You're the brave man.
You're the brave man? Yeah. Little fuck brat.
He fell in. Exactly. He was like, I felt like he was being like pushed to the side and he was the secondary character all of a sudden. I would have been fine for them all to share the spotlight there. But to prioritize that way and be like,
they wanted to give Rick his own. The thing is, it was Michonne, then Rick. They wanted Rick to have the final like goodbye with both of them for, I guess, the audience as well, because it was Judith and RJ hugging Michonne, then Judith looks at Rick and notices it's him, and then gives him a big hug.
I didn't recognize you with one hand. What are we doing?
See, that part was even more kind of ridiculous. Because
to be fair, to be fair, time out. To be fair, Rick disappeared when she was very young.
I know, but
she knows who Rick Grimes is. She knows who
Rick Grimes is. I know.
She was not 6 months old. So like, I was great with it in the initial, like they're running through the field. I got goosebumps. I was like, oh, this is cool. The reunion. Then they hug for an hour and 45 minutes.
30 seconds.
Then they separate. And then Judith kind of puts her hands on her hips and goes, that's you. Where you been? Okay. And she just kind of sashays. And then it's like, okay, bring it in for a little sideways hug.
I was like, except it was a full-blown hug.
Well, it had to be a sideways hug. There's only one arm. But sorry.
Except it was a full-blown hug. Dude, you are misremembering this. It was a full-blown hug.
You're the brave man. Now you can call me dad. Go mow the lawn.
Yeah.
I know. And then it was all happy, happy, and we heard the Christmas music and the Hallmark ending rolled credits.
I thought it was great. That's just
watch it again and just count how long it is in your head. It's gonna feel like an hour and 45 minutes. But like he's just standing back there awkwardly. It's like, oh yeah, it's that guy with the one arm.
It's the first time he's ever seeing his son. Of course he'd be a bit in shock.
You know.
It was
yeah.
It was strange that you know, now that I'm okay, so I'm mad, not mad about RJ anymore, although I still am. But it was strange to me how long they hugged Michonne before going to Rick, specifically Judith. Like, Judith would have hugged Michonne and gone right to Rick, right? I mean, it was the whole point.
Well, she hadn't seen her mom in, like, at this point, 2 years.
Yeah, but she...
And her, yes.
She thought her dad was dead.
Yeah.
Suddenly figured out your dad is alive. He's resurrected. And you're not even going to acknowledge him for an hour and 45 minutes.
You keep saying that. It was like 30 seconds.
You need to go back and watch it, Max. Okay, you need to go back. Somebody is misremembering, and I think it's you.
Oh, man. I don't know. I was like, I'm thinking if I'm Andrew Lincoln, and I'm like, geez, how long do I have to hold this sad face while you guys awkwardly hug?
I think he was in charge of that. Lincoln said he was in charge of that ending, so...
Yeah, because
he probably didn't think about how awkward he was going to look just standing there for it.
Because he wanted to get he said in the post show wrap up where he wanted to get that Shawshank Redemption gathering and then the pullback with the God's eye view of everything. So it felt so much bigger. And that was cool.
And he said the C word right there. He said, give them that closure, which I was like,
right.
This is probably series finale.
He's done with
this is, which honestly, I'm Jason, you were right. It's over. I don't think there's going to be a season two.
I think there's still a chance for you to be right because as Jeffy was pointing out the viewership numbers, they were pretty impressive. So I don't know if they just wanted to gauge how much fatigue people had, you know, on these two characters and Walking Dead in general.
Yeah.
So it's possible. Like, I think I read a quote from Gimple not too long ago where he just kind of said, well, anything's possible. So there was no finale. You know, he was asked if there was going to be another season. He just said anything is possible. So he definitely didn't say the door is closed.
No, but that just depends on how much Rick wants.
Exactly. So it was written to where it could be a finale. That's closure. We gave it to them. The fans are happy. But when they're going back through their books and they're like, damn, we made a lot of money. We can get a deal on these guys to come back. I don't know.
I know. And we also will see how season two of Dead City
and Daryl
and season two of Daryl does numbers wise. And if they are still strong, which I'm sure they will be, at least for AMC Plus, which is all they're caring about. You know, that's all we're getting minor reports on the numbers for AMC Plus. No specifics inside those numbers, but just overall numbers for the season premieres and finales. And they're in love with those numbers. So they absolutely will try to talk Rick to come back. No question.
I think what's more than likely is kind of like what Marvel does with their like high profile cameos. So, you know, like we know that Carol mentioned in that radio broadcast when she was talking during the Daryl Dixon show, she said he's back or something like that.
He came back.
Which I think we all know is Rick. We knew that from then. We were just waiting. So
it would make sense. Like if when they're wrapping up the Daryl Dixon show, they get back to Alexandria and then they bring Michonne and Rick back, you know.
Because what's strange is, so we've got the CRM and, you know, this is in Philadelphia. I mean, we know that Dead City New York is its own entity. They haven't even breached New York.
Well, New York doesn't have a military. What New York, remember, New York.
Yeah, well, you're not getting in there. All the bridges are gone. New York is its own entity. Yeah, a big deal.
Yeah, New York Manhattan literally is an island that's almost impossible to get into other than by boat or helicopter, funny enough.
Well, at some point, they're going to need walkers for food. Walkers for energy. I realize that there's, 8 or 9 or 10 or 12 million people in New York that we're burning as walkers, but that isn't forever. They're going to run out at some point, so they're going to need to find a way for more walkers for energy and food, right? That's the same thing that, CRM was concerned about. So things are not going to get really any better in New York. I don't know. We'll see. It's just me thinking out loud.
So when is that? Is Dead City further down the pipeline than?
Yeah, it's going to be Daryl, then Dead City, from what I understand. It's going to be Daryl season two, then Dead City.
That's weird.
That sure is. I know. And, you know, the Daryl is the, you know, Book of Carol or whatever, which I don't know that I'm actually looking forward
to. I hope they do Carol right, because the thing is, what we saw these last few episodes of The Ones Who Live, and I remember Jason complaining about it in the beginning, and so was our grandpa who we watched the show with, is the thing is, Rick, for the first two or three episodes, felt weirdly different compared to all the other versions of him we have seen. Then after the romance episode, he started to get back into classic Rick Grimes, where at this episode, we had full, oh, this is the Rick we know and love. So hopefully they actually do that with Carol, where she is treated correctly like Carol.
Yeah, there's only one way to do Carol correctly, and that's like guerrilla warfare, ninja warrior.
Yeah.
That's what I would like to see. I'm still not excited to see it centered on her journey to Daryl. I'm not excited about that. It could be okay.
Although if it is the Carol we want to get to Daryl, which it probably will have to be, it may be fun.
Because remember, she got the guy who got his bike. She put him into the trunk.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, but then she's going to get to Daryl and, you know, make chocolate chip cookies. And it's going to be okay.
It feels like it's like Batman and Robin from the perspective of Robin. You know what I mean? And I'm like, I want to see it from the perspective of Batman. I don't want to see it from the perspective.
Yeah, we like
they're
Batman.
Both cool.
Actually, the perspective of Robin is some of the most interesting comic book stuff ever written, depending on who actually writes that.
All right, we're done.
Okay. All right.
Episode 485, chapter 5, is when Robin first you realize, okay, we got it.
If you read comic books, you'll actually understand this.
We got it. Okay, thank you. All right, so.
That was the most Max comment ever. I love it. That's got to be, we got to do a cold open to the podcast, and that's got to go before you saying
season one.
All right, we're done.
So The Ones Who Live is over.
It's over. Goodbye. Have a nice day. We're done. Thank you for listening to Talking Walking Dead. It's over for now, right? I mean, we end it with, you know, the way, of course, you know, with the generic Gimple way of, well, you never know. Anything's possible. I'm just sitting here with my little binoculars on, my little camera, pretending I know what I'm doing.
But it's probably
before we end this, I said this after the episode, this whole show, and Dad was very happy about this, this whole show, other than two or three flashbacks and Jadis, there were no World Beyond main characters in this show.
Yeah, that's always a good thing.
No kidding. No
other kidding. Than Jadis.
And Beale, right? Wasn't he?
Beale wasn't in that World Beyond.
We talked about him, right?
They talked about him a few times, but he wasn't in World Beyond.
And Jadis started in
Walking Dead.
Yeah, so, I mean, she was doing the... She was the special spotlight in World Beyond. They do not deserve being spotlights in the big show. No, you take your two seasons. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess we'll see you guys
when Daryl comes out.
When Daryl starts, which is sometime in, I don't know, 2028, 2029. Probably get a season premiere about January of 2030. And we'll be looking forward to it.
It's October?
Actually, between the strike, it'll probably be October or November of this year, yeah. I don't know that they've actually... They said later 2024, I believe, is what I read. So, because they're, you know, they were busy filming right after the strike. So, what do you got?
I'm looking at it right now.
October just makes sense. They always used to do big premiere.
October.
Okay. Is that official?
Yeah, it seems like it. It does no date, but it just says October.
Yeah, that's what they're shooting for. So with the filming and everything, it will be October or November. And you're right. They usually do October because then they give you the first or six episodes and take that holiday break.
Yeah, mm-hmm. in December, yeah.
All right, so we'll see you then. for Daryl, Book of Carol, or whatever they're going to call it.
Then after that, Dead City, and then that's all that's on the horizon for Walking Dead right now.
Yeah, and you know what? You're probably going to be right, though. AMC Plus is going to be worth too much to them to let Rick walk away.
That's weird.
And
this is weird. When Walking Dead ended, we only had finished World Beyond, and we still had Fear. We had Daryl coming up. We had this show coming up. We had Dead City. We had Tales of the Walking Dead. All of that. And then now we only have two shows coming up of season two.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind expanding on some of the tales. I didn't like all of them, but I did like two or three episodes that they could expand on with tales. You know, Scott, you can email me, chewingthefat@theblaze.com. You and I can sit down, talk, work out some episodes for you. No problem. I'm happy to do that.
You know what it's going to be the next show for Walking Dead, like the new IP? It's going to be Alicia and in L.A. with her mom.
Okay, seriously, we are done. Thanks for we're not wrapping this up at all. We're walking away from the table.
No,
when we start mentioning that.
That was no. This show was good. Okay, how about a series review? How was the show, Father?
I liked it. I think they really did use this six episodes to try to cram into what would have been two movies, right? At least two movies. And so they jumped some timelines pretty fast, but it seemed to come together at the end. And we got the rolling credits with Santa Claus is coming to town and Christmas music playing, and everybody was happy.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I did not like the premise of the show, the love story. I still to this day do not like that. They could have done this so many other ways and had been fine and so much better. So that was kind of eye roll to me.
Yeah.
But it was there was enough good moments, and there was Rick Grimes. So I mean, it's really it's like bacon and eggs. It's really hard to screw that up.
I know, so, yeah. I know, and that's look. And Max mentioned his grandpa. My father-in-law, who watches the show with us, he was like, okay, so it made me think that, he's probably right, because we're going to watch it and enjoy it for what it is and be happy that we have Rick Grimes there. But the love story that you talk about and the business story that we all were like, okay, enough already. Because when they were all wrapped up at the end, and we're getting the God's eye view of the stop. Max is going, I liked it. It was a really good episode. It's a happy ending. And he said, for women. And I thought, yep, there you go. Jeez.
Except I liked it.
that the premise of that only makes sense is if it was a driving plot line throughout the entire series.
And it was not.
It was not. It was like a story about a man and his son. Pretty much the majority of it.
Yeah, and so, Rick and Michonne got together mid-season 5 or 6.
And it was never believable. It was always awkward. So, forcing that into, the whole point of the season, ending the show, that's why it was awkward. But whatever. Like I said, it was bacon and eggs, hard to screw up, so I enjoyed it ultimately.
All right, we're done. Thanks for listening. Jason Butchell, Maximus Fisher, thanks for listening. We'll see you the next time around here on Talking Walking Dead.